Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hello there.
And a very special guest. We're continuing the run, which is great, having new voices here, especially from the verdict judge fold, is Daryl Loomis. Daryl, how's it going?
Good. How's everybody doing here?
We're doing okay. Eric can't be with us. He's bailing out his basement. So it's kind of I don't want to say a flooded basement is equivalent to the Texas wildfires.
Daryl and I were talking.
Daryl's from the around-ish Dallas, but he's in Texas. But it does seem like there's a natural disaster flavor hitting the filibuster.
Yeah, no good.
My car was leaking. My car roof was leaking. So there you go.
Yeah,
Mac, do you have any disasters to report?
Not really. Had a lot of angry phone calls at work today.
You did? From who? Who is like readers?
Yes, readers and so on.
And you have to deal with that.
Yeah, one of the hazards of the news business.
Was it about an article?
Just people just angry in general.
So people who are angry in general call you?
Right.
That's unfair. That's
the anger desk.
We'll try to prick each other up here with a little bit of time getting into the weekend. So let's just get right into it and see what you guys have been up to. So Mac, aside from the angry field calls that you've been, angry phone calls you've been fielding, rather, have you been able to divert yourself in any other manner?
Let's see. Well, last week I was talking about comic books and the big DC Comics reboot.
That's right.
So this week let's go to the other side of the fence and talk about Marvel and the new Spider Island event.
And do tell.
Well, the concept here is that in the Marvel Universe, the island of Manhattan in New York City has been overrun by the radioactive insects, just like the ones that bit Peter Parker, and now everyone in all of Manhattan has the same powers as Spider-Man does.
Wow, so... Huh.
And this is the big event that Marvel's doing right now.
Okay. How often do they do events?
As soon as one ends, the next one starts.
Okay, gotcha.
So the events are kind of ongoing these days. Yeah. Used to be there was an event like once every couple of years, then it was once a year, and now there's never not an event.
All right.
But this Spider Island is interesting. It's the idea is that, you know, Manhattan's been quarantined, and all of the other Marvel heroes who operate out of Manhattan also have Spider-Man's powers.
Wait, so there are Marvel heroes who have their powers in addition to Spider-Man powers?
Exactly.
Makes Spider-Man kind of a wiener, I think, doesn't it?
I know.
It does. It's like he's kind of having a little bit of an identity crisis as all this is going on. Because now he's not special anymore. He's just one of the crowd.
Wait, does he grow his hair long and have it cover one of his eyes? Because that's how according to the films, that's how he kind of deals with the angst, right?
That hasn't happened yet, but there's still about another 2 months worth of Spider Island to go, so you never know what's going to happen.
Spider Island sounds like a Ray Harryhausen stop motion.
It does, yeah. So yeah, it's a really intriguing beginning. It's been a lot of fun at the start now, and now I just hope that they can keep it going and not screw it up halfway through or at the ending, because like when Marvel did the Civil War event, that started out really strong, and then the ending kind of fizzled out. Then they did the Secret Invasion event, and that started out really strong and really exciting, and then that fizzled out at the end. So I'm really hoping they can come up with a really good, really strong beginning, middle, and end for this one, and not have it, sort of wither and die at the end.
So. In your humble opinion, what has been the all-time greatest comic book event?
Oh, boy. That's a toughie.
And Daryl, I don't know if you're a comic book guy, but...
Little bit.
Feel free to jump in here, too.
The greatest... that's a tough question to ask. Most fans will say it was DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths, which rewrote the rules of the DC universe for the first time that they were rewritten. and involved like all the characters in one huge event.
Does that affect DC Comics to this day?
Not anymore, now with this reboot that happened last week.
Oh, okay.
But for a long time, for many years, you know, your comics were either pre-crisis or post-crisis, you know.
Hmm.
Like, you know, when did Batman first meet Robin? Well, that depends. Are you talking pre-crisis or post-crisis?
Gotcha.
But, yeah, but as far as Marvel goes, though, I was right at the perfect age when Secret Wars first happened. And a lot of people really hate Secret Wars. They think it's really crap, and they think it's just a ripoff of Crisis on Infinite Earths. But I guess I got to put on my nostalgia glasses and say, boy, you know, that was the event for me at that age.
Right on. Is Superman Red Son, does that count as one of the events kind of comics?
Well, the event is something that stretches out over the company's entire line.
Oh, okay.
So Superman Red Son was just kind of its own series.
Gotcha.
It didn't involve, like, everybody.
But that is well-regarded, right, Red Son? I mean,
it is. It's very popular.
Okay. Yeah. From my limited knowledge, I have heard of that, actually. So, is that the one where he lands in the Soviet Union instead?
Yeah, right. It's reimagined as a Soviet superhero. It's interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's a good read.
All right, Mac, anything else? Anything in the moving pictures arena, or...
Not too much these days. Really been enjoying the new episodes of Futurama. It's been just a great season. And by the time that this podcast airs, it'll be a day after the season finale, just Thursday. And man, just loving this new season. There hasn't been a bad episode in the bunch.
Is that doing well, ratings-wise?
I haven't heard. I don't know. They're on Comedy Central now. But quality-wise, I'm just really enjoying the show. It's in my opinion, it's right up there with the best episodes they've done.
Yeah, I got to get back to that show. I haven't watched it in years. But it sounds like it's gotten pretty good since it moved to Comedy Central.
Yeah, the fifth season was a little hit or miss, in my opinion. But this recent season, it's just been solid. I've been really enjoying it.
Does Katie Sagal still do the voice?
Yes.
He does, okay.
That was their big deal about going to Comedy Central. They wouldn't do it unless they could, you know, keep the cast and keep the quality up. So,
Katie Sagal's pretty busy then, isn't she?
Yeah, totally.
All right, good. How about you, Daryl? You see any TV, any movies, anything else?
Haven't seen too many movies lately. Watched, I know, one of your favorites, 13 Assassins, for I think the fourth time.
Nice. Earlier you've this even week. Outperformed me. Good.
I can't get enough. Once it went on Netflix, it's pretty easy to sit down and watch some flaming boars run at the screen.
That's right. Now, Mac, have you gotten a chance to see this yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I'm sure we talked about it. I couldn't remember if we talked about it. So
yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a great movie.
You know, it's one of those movies where I don't think I've heard anyone say, and not even say something bad about it, but say something not over the moon about it. You know, everyone I talk to just absolutely loves it completely.
It's hard not to.
I mean, it really has something for everybody, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the best samurai movies I've ever seen. They can't wait to see his Miike's version of Harikiri coming out pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what style, you know, what kind of, you know, which one shows up. Is it because as crazy as 13 Assassins could be, it really wasn't in your face, over the top, explicit gore. You know?
No, it's not Ichi the Killer or Gozu or any of those nutty movies. But the guy's made so many different kinds of movies. Between like Zebra Man, some kids movie, and musical comedy called Happiness the Katakuris. I mean, there's so he's made like 70 movies in 15 years or 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
He cranks out like 12 movies a year.
It's ridiculous. So you know, but yeah, if he keeps under the with a little bit of restraint like he did 13 Assassins, man, the sky's the limit. I think that guy. So I watched that, and then over the last month or so, I've been taking a trip back to my 8-year-old days and watching Voltron: Defender of the Universe.
Cool.
man,
which
how
I've
did that
loved.
Hold up after?
And actually, to me, it held up pretty good. It's a pretty continuous story. It's kind of repetitive, but what 80s cartoon wasn't kind of repetitive, you know?
Well, I mean, what 80s cartoon was not repetitive or nonsensical. I mean,
well, exactly. It is sensical on a certain level,
there
and the,
I mean,
the Robeast monsters, I think, are generally pretty cool. So, you know, I'm about halfway through the third season. I think there's six seasons of the lion version of it. So, keep going with that for a little while, I guess.
Nice. I had to think that being one of the legs or the feet, that's probably a sucky location.
It seems like it. It's where they put the little guy and the Pidge and the princess. So, you know, you get Hunk on one side and
right.
Lance on the other, and then Keith, the selfish guy, he'll form the head.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Nice.
It's
guys from the Cobra Kai dojo.
Exactly.
Aggie's losers on the bottom.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's all I remember. Pidge, and he was. That's all I remembered.
The Green Lion.
Nice. Anything else?
No, not really. Not really. I did restart Deadwood earlier this week.
Something I've never seen, and I know it's heretical not to have seen it, but I've always been deterred because I just heard it kind of ended suddenly, or it ended without much resolution.
Yeah, now I watched, when it first aired, I think I watched the first four episodes, and I hated it. Speaking of heresy.
Really?
I hated it. And after about 3 years of cajoling from my brother, I finally decided to go ahead and watch it again. And this time around, you know, it's been 10 years or whatever. I like it a little better, but at the same time, it still kind of feels like High Noon with a bunch of cussing. And so I know it's supposed to get better, but and I'll work my way through it, but
and
I'm not.
Is the profanity that epic? I mean, is it? That's all I hear about that show.
If you're talking to my dad, no.
Okay.
No, it's for the time. It has a bunch of it throws a bunch of stuff out there, and when you compare television to the time, yeah, I suppose so, but okay. You know, it's 2011. I think a lot of people are pretty used to what they're saying at this point.
I know, I mean, I'm just saying what's left to be said. I mean, like Voldemort, I guess you can't say out loud these
right. But yeah, no, it's well filmed, and the performances seem pretty good, but in the end, the stories aren't really taking me right now.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll see what we get. See if we get some heated email or some, angry phone calls, we'll forward them to Mac.
Forward them, yeah, right.
Oh, well, okay then.
To the anger desk.
That's right. Let's see. For me, not too much, actually. I guess just gearing up for the new fall season. And, you know, with that, we'll probably get into this when we talk about what we have gotten reviewed. So, I've got a few things. Like, I just finished watching Sons of Anarchy season 3. That's a review for the site. I got Fringe season 3, which I have to rewatch and review. But that, I mean, those are probably in my top 5 favorite shows on TV right now. You know, so I'm looking forward to kind of revisiting that, getting prepped for the new seasons of these shows. But beyond that, we haven't. Actually, there's no. I can't think of a single thing in the theater that's remotely interesting to me. No.
Fright Night's the only one I even remotely want to see.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe, yeah. It might be a $5 Walmart bargain bin pickup someday. But.
Yeah, I like the original, and I like the idea of Fright Night, I suppose. So we'll see, but.
I like the idea of Fright Night more than I will say that speaking of HBO shows, we just watched the second to last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that season is wrapping up. And certainly a different season than seasons before. It doesn't have one overarching arc. It's just a bunch of separate ones. I wouldn't say it's the strongest season. It's been pretty hit and miss. So this last episode was great. It had a very special guest appearance by Bill Buckner.
I heard about that.
it was hilarious. And, like, I mean, good on Bill Buckner, too, you know, for going through with it. Because they obviously play up the whole muffed, first base play. But very, very funny. Very funny. So that helped salvage a lot of what I wasn't really digging about this season. So, all right, well, let's just move on right now anyway and just talk about what we've been working on. Mac, what have you been assigned? What are you working on?
I'm working on for the site. well, we talked about it briefly a week or so ago. you know, one of the many E.T. ripoffs from the 80s. A lot of E.T. ripoffs.
Oh, so many.
Yes. And this one is Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend.
Yes.
Yeah. Which just came out on Blu-ray. And, on paper it should work. You know, you just take instead of an alien, you have a dinosaur. Yeah? Kids liked E.T., kids like dinosaurs. Movie should be a huge hit. But I think they're trying so, so hard to make it as much like E.T. as they possibly can that the movie just ends up unwatchable because of that. Yeah.
Now, is Baby just a giant animatronic puppet, like from one of those Dinosaurs Alive exhibits from the 90s?
Or
the
80s? More or less, yeah. You know, in the long shots or the wide shots, the dinosaurs look really good, actually.
Oh, right.
But then you get a close-up,
ouch.
And it's like, wow. Baby's eyes are like this bright, bright green. And not like just, you know, the part of the eye that's colored, but like the entire eye is just green with like a black dot in the middle, you know? And it's so unnatural looking. And,
yeah, that seems unsettling. They need to make him blink.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Lucas on the case.
And, oh, those just creepy, dead green eyes are just do not work.
Now, who are the bad guys in this? It can't be NASA, can it?
No, but it is the evil white man.
Nice, the old white man from all strikes.
That's right, who wants to hunt and kill the animals for sport.
He wants to hunt and kill Baby for sport.
Right. There's the last dinosaur alive somewhere on the earth.
It needs to be killed.
It needs to be killed.
No, what it is,
get the money you can make.
There's the mom and dad brontosaurus, and Baby is the baby brontosaurus, right? So the evil white man is hunting them. Says that he'll only be rich, he'll only be wealthy if he brings back a one-of-a-kind specimen. So he's got to kill two of them and bring back the one living one, and then he'll be a billionaire.
That sounds fantastic.
So that brontosaurus baby will only be worth money if the other only two brontosauruses in the world are killed. Now, where are these brontosauruses running around?
In the jungles of Africa.
Gotcha, okay.
I don't think they specified what country exactly.
But... So who's our good guys?
Good guys are a pair of husband and wife paleontologists,
okay,
who are studying dinosaur bones.
Gotcha.
They find a bone that appears new, but so they go off in search of, you know, they go off into the wilds and they meet some horribly, horribly politically incorrect natives.
Well, like King Kong level politically.
Exactly. You know, they pull out the husband and wife has a Polaroid camera that has a flash on it. The natives, at first, they're just terrified of it. But then they're, of course, then they become amazed by it. And, you know, just, oh, so politically incorrect. So, yeah.
How does Evil White Man, does he get it in the end?
Pretty much.
Is there a final bad guy death scene?
Trying to remember. Let's see. There's a big set piece aboard a helicopter. And then there's a motorcycle chase, which is a total ripoff of the bicycle chase at the end of E.T.
Okay.
And, I think they go the family-friendly route. I think he just gets the humiliating defeat, not the final bad guy death.
Baby bites his head off.
That's right.
Sadly, no.
I was figuring this would be perfect for T-Rex to show up and rip him the head.
Yeah. I think they leave the ending wide open for a sequel, so I bet the plan was T-Rex in the sequel. But that's what the plan was.
That really speaks to the level of the E.T. ripoff, because a lot of those movies had those openings for sequels, like Mac and Me, you know? Wide open for a sequel.
Wide open for more McDonald's product placement.
That's right. Also, that's one of my favorites. One of my favorites ever. All right, so Baby, very good. Did anyone ever say the line, nobody puts Baby in the corner?
Oh, no. That would have predated Dirty Dancing.
But would that have predated Dirty Dancing? How old is this movie? I remember seeing commercials for it.
84? I think 84.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing is late 80s, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it was more around 86, 87, I think.
Not too bad. That would have been great, though. Dirty Dancing for right. Baby. Nice. All right, Daryl, how about you? Anything of interest of
high speaking of my old horror movie interest/fetish, I am reviewing Creepshow.
Oh, nice.
On Blu-ray this week, and it really holds up pretty well for me. It's stupid, but Stephen King, he was always at his best writing short fiction stuff. So for the one good screenplay he ever wrote is, you know, five short horror pieces. And when you get like Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson in a 2-man 15-minute piece, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, based on the old EC Comics, which was my first horror, or first comic experience, when I was a kid, and, getting a bag of old Twilight Zone and, Witching Hour comics from a kid I went to church with. So it's, you know, it's a good throwback to that. It's pretty silly, but, there's lots of good stars in it, and, George Romero directed it, so. You know, it's got its moments. It's, like I said, pretty silly, but pretty much worth watching. Pretty much. There's a couple. It's hit and miss, you know, like any anthology kind of thing is, but.
Is this the one with the wooden Indian chief that comes to life?
I think that's
Creepshow 2.
That's Creepshow 2.
Which was, Creepshow 2 is a little bit darker than the first one, right?
I think that's right. I hadn't seen either one of them in years and years. Now, the one in Creepshow that freaks me out a little bit, still does, is the one about the old rich guy who hates bugs, who gets attacked by cockroaches. Huh. And, so, you know, that one was still pretty fun and, like I said, having Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson running around together is a riot to me. So, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but for an old throwback, given what's normally out there for horror anthology garbage, yeah, it's pretty all right. So, and then I have which I have not yet seen, so we'll see. But is Triad Underworld. From the people, I think, who produced the Infernal Affairs trilogy.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see about that. But those movies were great. So.
They were. I've never seen the second or third one. Big fan of the first, though.
Fun movies. And this looks pretty much online. People with guns running around shooting each other.
All right. Very good.
Okay with that.
Nice. Well, speaking of overseas action movies, I've got a True Legend by Yuen Woo Ping. I'm not sure if you've seen any previews for this. It's pretty much the opposite of something like Infernal Affairs or 13 Assassins, where those are a little more grounded. Or I mean, obviously 13 Assassins take some liberties, but I mean this is pretty nuts, pretty out there. So straight up wire fu CGI, that kind of craziness. And personally, I don't love that kind of action these days. I'm, you know, like, the guys from Thailand who consistently put themselves in harm's way and risk like mortal spinal column danger for my entertainment, I kind of appreciate more than a wire fu. But if that is your bag, then, I think there's some fun to be had here. It's like the myth about the guy who discovered drunken boxing. So like, but it's weirdly set up. So the first two thirds of the movie is a simple revenge plot. A crazy brother who has armor sewn into his flesh.
Just nice. Pretty nuts.
Wipes out a whole bunch of loved ones of his other brother. His other brother goes into exile, learns drunken boxing from the god of Wushu, then comes back and, you know, they get into their inevitable final battle. Huge, big, little weird because he's ripping the armor off the guy's body and kind of, I don't know, like the guy fell off a motorcycle and skidded down a road on his flesh. That was a little weird. But then all of a sudden the movie turns into something else, and it's one of those familiar type of, I mean, you've seen it in every, it seems like every period Chinese movie, kind of like the Chinese guy battling, you know, warriors from the Western world and some, you know, to defend China's nobility and like a fighting tournament. It seems like I've seen them, you know, in all of those. And that's the final third of the movie. It doesn't really fit with the first two thirds. So it's like two separate movies. So I would have preferred just a whacked out. I mean, it was like the first one was like this wacky, almost fantasy action kung fu experience. And the other one becomes this weird blood sport political thing. And David Carradine's in this. And I don't know how many movies I've seen with him that he's, you know, since he's died. You know, he just keeps popping up.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
So he was obviously hustling for work towards the end there. So I don't know, just kind of mixed, mixed reviews. If you like the big wire action, there's a lot here that'll be fun to watch, but as a whole, it's too much of a mixed bag. So, and then I was lucky enough to get outsourced the complete series.
What did you think of that?
Not good. Really?
I never saw it.
I mean, at all. Not good. But I won't go as far as say it was. You know, some people were saying it was like, you know, racist or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I think racist might be too strong. It was just broad and lame. You know, like a lot of broad comedy, easy jokes, lame stuff. You know, not any likable characters. And I'm just, my grudge against it was it bumped Parks and Rec out of the 9:30 slot for half the year. So, not worthwhile at all. And then, like I said, Sons of Anarchy season 3, another kind of mixed bag of the first third of the season. Really kind of stumbles. I don't know. Have you guys seen Sons of Anarchy at all?
I never have, but I've heard nothing pretty
I would
much
really recommend
about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it for sure. If you're looking for to get into a season that's got a couple, get into a series, a couple seasons under its belt and just rocket through them, I'd recommend Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I love Ron Perlman, so. I'll
yeah, that's probably the best I've seen him in, so. I prefer him in this than like the countless low budget fantasy films he keeps popping.
Yeah.
So it's like, overall, a good season. First third really takes a while to get going. Just oddly, I don't know, just doesn't really work much, but then it finally gets its groove and takes off a bit. So definitely still recommend that.
I read that the premiere of season 4 was really pretty good.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, but.
Yeah, I'm contemplating. We don't have cable, so I'm contemplating, do I want to, like, buy episodes from Amazon or just wait it out again? So that was my Labor Day marathon viewing was this show, so. Which is kind of fun because they all end on like these huge cliffhangers. That's kind of what the show's known for, too. Each episode. All right, Mac, why don't you take us to phase 3 or whatever?
Okay, we're gonna take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're gonna go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and we're gonna scroll down to the cover art gallery for September 13th. And we're just gonna talk about what's on the list here, and you at home can follow along. And I'll start off, say the big release for me this week is Thor.
Yes.
Which, kind of gotten, you know, mixed, you know, reviews or mixed thoughts from the audience. I personally had a great time with it.
Yeah, I've gone on record, been a little mixed about it too. Daryl, did you see it?
I did not. But, it looks like it's probably a decent way to waste an hour 45.
That's pretty accurate, I think. You probably get more out of it the more you know about the mythology and the character, right, Mac? What'd you say?
That's probably fair, yeah.
Let's see. There is The Exterminator, starring Robert Ginty of Warrior of the Lost World fame.
Oh, really?
I reviewed this a while ago. Moved from the 80s, early 80s. It's so funny, like it's interesting in the fact that it's a cultural relic because he's a Vietnam vet and he's in New York City and they show Times Square, which is just a cesspool like it used to be, you know, just a complete cesspool. And he just ends up like, he pretty much just ends up systematically wiping out like the criminal scum of New York City in increasingly brutal ways. Like he drops one guy into a meat grinder. And like, if you see, then it's a cut to the scene and you see like the hamburger getting pushed out of the spout there. He lights a pedophile on fire. He blows a lot of guys away. He's the exterminator.
Yeah, I'm looking around. There's a lot of old horror. I reviewed, earlier, The Basement Retro 80s Horror Collection from Camp Motion Pictures,
yeah.
Which is not good, but it's an interesting set. It comes with a VHS tape. It's in a big box, like the old days, and comes with an actual VHS tape, which showed me that my VCR no longer works. And so I didn't actually see the VHS, but it's an interesting little set for old time horror fans. And the other one that I'm interested in here this week is The Frighteners, which I haven't seen in years, but is I think the last movie Peter Jackson did before the Lord of the Rings run.
Was it? Did he do?
When was Heavenly Creatures?
That's right. Was it Heavenly Creatures?
Heavenly Creatures was before that. He was still in New Zealand then, I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, Frightener seems like it releases every other week.
Yeah.
So many versions of it. But yeah, that's something I've always liked. That's a movie I've always liked.
It's always been a fun little thing, and Michael J. Fox is pretty funny in it, so. But it's an odd week, it looks like.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a True Legend down there. Mm. Towards the bottom, you see the guy with the armor sewed into his skin.
There you go. It looks like a zombie movie on the cover.
That's right. Yeah. See, there's Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. I think I talked about that the other week. Mm-hmm. Pretty much over the top insanity. And
the Street Fighter cartoon.
See, that's another thing that gets released every other week. Where's
Is
this the original animated movie? Yeah. All right. It looks like something else.
And it's
Street Fighter, the new Challengers.
Oh, it comes with a PC game and a t-shirt.
Yeah, not bad. That tells you how much I think of the new Challengers. There's a show I like, me and a bunch of 15-year-old girls, probably, Supernatural. I don't know.
Is there a reason he's got a snake crawling up his arm on the cover art?
I didn't notice that.
Is that meaningful?
I don't think so. I thought it was decorating his shirt, but...
Oh.
No, I can't. I don't know. I can't really think of why that would be.
So this isn't the season where they get the pet snake and...
No, it's not. It's not. Time of day. Go down south and they go noodling and catch snakes and wrestle alligators. All right, well, yeah, it is kind of weird. It's a lot of random... A lot of Blu-rays, too. A lot of random Blu-rays. You know, speaking of Blu-ray, The Count of Monte Cristo. Do you guys remember that one? With that Guy Pearce and...
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that a lot, actually.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like a great little old-fashioned feeling kind of movie. I don't know, just a fun movie.
That was directed by Kevin Reynolds, correct?
That's right. Okay. Of Waterworld fame. Probably more important things than Waterworld. For some reason, that's what I remember him doing. All right, so lots to choose from. Feel free to purchase and support DVD Verdict through your purchases. That'd be great. So let's inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. So Daryl, why don't you kick us off? You see anything?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty obvious choice here, I think, but I'm going with Golden Swallow.
Oh, that's good. All right, Mac.
How about Gentle Giant?
You know, there's actually quite a lot if you think about it here. You know, Reach for Me. It looks so innocuous. Nice. The movie looks so innocuous. So there's lots to choose from here. All right, so let's move on to our ambush topic segment where we just throw random topics at each other. Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, I'm still laughing at Reach for Me. TV shows that have strange or unusual theme songs, or we'll say opening credit sequences. Broaden it up a little bit.
That's strange or unusual?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Well, I'm trying to just think of any 80s sitcoms.
Yeah.
Do you remember, just a general comment while I keep thinking, but, I mean, do you remember just how, like, the opening credit and the opening titles for sitcoms used to be so long? I mean, they would be interminable.
Oh, full songs almost.
They'd be an entire song.
And, like, The Full House, I remember, you know, like, the first season of Full House, there's a 3-minute opening title, you know. All right, come on, let's see here.
There's got to be one here.
Okay, I'll just say that I always thought that, I thought it was a great title. I thought it was a great opener. But it seemed almost seemed dark, too dark and serious for the actual content. But that's for the Knight Rider, you know, for Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just the narration, and I just remember how, you know, a man who does not exist, right? Or something like that. But then when you hear Kid, he's just kind of a nerd. And so like sets you up for this just awesome wraith-like man who does not exist. And then you see David Hasselhoff with his leather jacket and afro, and then Kid is just this. Kid is like the C-3PO in, you know, T-top form. So, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, and I haven't watched the show a lot, but doesn't Dexter start with him like cracking eggs and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. Yeah. I have to always fast forward that. My wife, it's a flossing scene.
It's like extreme close-ups of ordinary stuff he does to get ready in the morning, and it's all
and then goes on to murder.
That's kind of like how Dexter sees the world, I think.
I think it's just the flossing that just the general flossing is a very disgusting action anyway. So.
Yeah, and cracking an egg just reminds me of old anti-drug ads, so.
Well, for mine, I went all the way back to 1988. A lot of the anthology series were kind of big, or semi-big back in those days. There was the Twilight Zone revival, there was Amazing Stories, and there was a bunch of others. And there was one in syndication called Monsters. It's a weekly series. And the opening titles, it wasn't even so much titles, it showed like this quaint suburban house, and then you go inside and it's like a Leave It to Beaver episode. But the mom and the dad and the little girl, they're all like cyclopses. They've just all got like one eye. And it's like weird prosthetic. And they're all sitting around the television and like nothing's on. And the little girl's eating, I think, she says crispy critters is some kind of little treat that she's eating, and it's up to your imagination as to what that is. And then they say, oh, it's our favorite show, Monsters, is on. And then there's this like evil laugh as all the lights go out and the title comes up on the screen. So the actual show itself was crap, but that opening title was truly something to remember.
My God, I haven't heard of it. Okay, I'll go next here. Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, just scenes with motorcycles. Pretty easy.
Oh, let's see. What was that dang Lorenzo Lamas movie?
Oh, okay.
Which one?
Okay. I mean, was a motorcycle actually a critical element in that show, or was he just riding around on it? Was it just a conveyance? I've never seen a minute of that show.
Oh, it's been years.
Okay.
I thought that it had a sidecar and that the Indian guy rode around on the in the sidecar. Is that not right?
I have no idea. I can neither confirm nor deny that statement.
But maybe I'm just thinking of the Simpsons parody of it.
Let's see.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, at least for me, would be the chase from Terminator 2 when Arnold is on the big Harley and the T-1000 is driving that big old truck.
That's right.
And what's his name? John Connor is driving that kind of souped-up dirt bike thing. And the Terminator drives up next to John Connor, picks him up right off his bike with one hand and drives off, and then the souped-up dirt bike gets crushed under the giant truck. And there's a pretty great stunt in that, too, where he jumps the bike right off the overpass down into the gully or whatever that was.
That's right, the Arnold Schwarzenegger stunt double?
Yes.
Yeah. I will say that's one of those are some of my favorite stunts where, you know, like when the semi goes off of the bridge and like lands on its front axle, you know, and the whole, you know, just wrecks everything, edit, cut to the scene, and, you know, the newly fixed truck rolls on.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least I appreciate them actually doing an actual stunt. You know, that's great.
Right, yeah. Practical.
I'm going to go with, was it Hard Rain?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That Christian Slater was hauling down on the bike.
Oh, now the jet ski, maybe?
Oh, was that a jet ski?
If it's hard rain, it's a watercraft.
I suppose you're
right. I'll give you points. I'm going to give you points just for hard rain, one of our favorites.
Right, yeah, they're tooling around inside the flooded high school on the jet skis and all the flooded hallways.
Yeah, you're right. That's right.
But you know what? It's okay. And for such a, you know, that stunt must have cost a fortune to stage. But I know. But I'm going to let that one slide because we love hard rain around here.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, for a movie that otherwise blew, I thought, Mission Impossible 2 had some semi-decent motorcycle stunt work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with in fact, they used some of the beats from that you saw in Face Off. You know, when Tom Cruise jumps on the side of the bike and he's got his feet on the pavement and he's kind of like pavement skiing with the bike while you know the guy opens up his gunfire and whatnot. So I thought that was pretty good. It kind of ends weirdly when all of a sudden both their sets of tires go from road tires to these all-terrain tires with spikes on them. And they, like, drive and fly at each other, and then it gets a little crazy after that.
Collide in midair, yeah.
But that was pretty good. I can always appreciate some good motorcycle
combat. Is that also the one where he spins the tires in place to create, like, a big smoke screen to, like, distract his enemies?
I think so, yeah. I think it leads to a violent car crash.
Right.
The other thing I remember about that movie is, like, all the bad guys are driving like affordable sedans, you know? Like a Ford Tempo or something. You know, usually those guys are tooling around in Mercedes, you know.
Budgets are awfully low.
That's what I was thinking. That's all I kept thinking. It's like, wow, the budget must be tough. Yeah, there's, I don't know, driving a Kia Rio around, you know. All right, Daryl, yeah, I want you to finish off this with your first ever ambush topic.
All right, I am going to go with back to TV for a second. Shows that you would want to see redone into a movie in a different genre.
Wow.
Should I go ahead and start off?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I am going with the one thing that keeps popping into my head is Just the 10 of Us. redone as a survival horror movie. So you got the basketball coach in the and his you know all his kids and his wife and he just wants it to be just the 10 of them so they go around town slaughtering people.
That would be oh man that's pretty good. And you know a little speaking of Just the 10 of Us when I was reviewing some old school Melrose Place. one of the lovely ladies in that show was I don't know.
What's her name?
What's her name? So.
I used to know this sort of thing.
You don't mean Heather Langenkamp, do you?
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, Heather Langenkamp was the nerd.
Nightmare, right?
Right.
Yeah, no. From Nightmare. And Brooke Theis was in Nightmare 5, the blonde one.
Yeah, a tall, skinny blonde, and then there's a redhead.
It was her twin sister.
Okay.
Her fraternal twin sister.
Oh, man. I need to watch
I know that show too well.
I don't think that show hasn't aged very well.
No, I bet not.
The Growing Pain spinoff, right?
Yep. He was Kirk Cameron's basketball coach.
That's right. I mean, talk about a reach for a spinoff. You know? The basketball coach gets his own show. Although, to be fair, Family Matters was a spinoff, and What's Her Face, you know, operated the elevator.
That's right.
Wow.
There he's filming.
Yeah, that's a reach. That's a reach.
Okay, I see what you. So that's a good. That's a good one here. Let's see. How about if you took Cheers and turned it into something like Sandra Bullock's 28 Days? Just this painful, gritty, realistic account of Norm sobering up, battling the DTs,
leaving Las Vegas.
Yes, that's even
Barfly.
Better.
Yeah.
That's even better. Las Vegas. Yeah. So Norm and Cliff Clavin go to Las Vegas to drink themselves to death. Norm can't face the reality of his bar tab.
Exactly. He's just
suicidal over his job and his general lifestyle. So they just decide to go to Vegas, end it all.
I think Kirstie Alley's come knocking on Norm's door, and he just can't take it anymore.
That's right. She's got her giant shoulder pads on. He wants to save him, but you can't fit through the door.
He's too far gone.
All right, let's see. For me, how about James Cameron's The Jetsons?
Oh, great.
You know, it's the future. You got spaceships and flying cars and whatnot. But, of course, you know, mankind has fled to space because the Earth is, you know, an environmental, you know, eco disaster. And throughout the dialogue, you know, George Jetson, when he's not talking about sprockets, he's reminding us that, you know, Earth is an eco disaster.
That's right.
Something must be done. And
what do you think the carbon footprint of the Jetsons, you know, bubble layer there is? And you know, it's probably pretty carbon neutral, don't you think?
Probably.
What are they using as fuel?
I don't know. Did they ever say?
What's the science of the Jetsons?
A lot of people think that there aren't aliens on the Jetsons. There are actually quite a few. There's that little hopping fuzzball thing, and one episode had the invisible aliens, which, you know, shows the Hanna-Barbera budget. But yeah, and I suppose you need some kind of big action set piece.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's James Cameron, so I don't know.
Rosie the robot pulls out a bunch of guns.
No, there you go. Yeah, she could go berserk and stuff and start chopping down trees, and the rest of the Jetsons could, like, have to stop her somehow. Yeah. Of course, you know, every James Cameron movie has to have the hallway run, where the characters are running down a hallway. So, you know, that would have to be at the Sprocket Factory, right, where everybody's running down the hallway really fast.
So the automatons have gone insane.
Yeah. That's right.
All the shoulders are on fire. Very nice. All right, well, I believe that is it. I believe we are done with this edition of the Friday Filibusters. So thank you for listening. Thank you to Mac. Thank you to Daryl for kicking it with us. I'm sure if he is interested, we'll have him on again very soon.
Thank you for having me, for sure.
And Friday Filibuster at dvdvert.com is our email address. And that is about it. So Mac, take us away.
37.